Dominic Pangallo, candidate for mayor, City of Salem, is joining us here on MSO News Sports. And Dominic, thanks again for joining us once again here on the website to talk a bit about the issues and about your campaign for mayor. So welcome.
Thanks for having me back, though.
All right, so we're past the primary. We did talk after the primary, but we didn't really talk issues that day. So I want to just get a campaign update for you, from you, what's been going on in the last couple of weeks since the primary, and what's ahead in the weeks ahead here or the days ahead this coming week for the campaign.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I mean, we're still working hard every day to connect with voters before the May 16th election here in Salem. I was honored to have such a strong vote of support in the preliminary a few weeks ago. And I know we talked, honored that I topped the ticket, got 11 out of the 14 precincts, and got 43% of the vote in a five-way race. But we're not slowing down. So the day after the preliminary, I was back out knocking on doors. We're doing a very aggressive grassroots campaign. I've hit about close to 5,000 doors so far, and we have dozens of volunteers who are out there also canvassing and calling and holding signs, doing all the important work that's necessary for a campaign like this to succeed. I'm honored in the last week to have earned some big endorsements. Councilor-at-Large Ty Hapworth, Ward 2 City Councilor Caroline Watson-Felt, School Committee Member Mary Manning, former City Councilors Lucy Corchado and Josh Turiel, and former School Committee Member Brendan Walsh, as well as the Massachusetts Nurses Association and Carpenters Local 339. So, you know, this week we're going to continue that grassroots work, calling and knocking on doors, meeting with voters one-on-one, trying to grow that coalition of support. We're doing meet and greets, small meetings, one-on-one conversations with people. So it's been a pretty aggressive campaign, a short runway for a special election. But, you know, the voters that I've been talking to are, you know, they're concerned about Salem's future. They want to see the city keep moving forward as a place that's innovative and professionally managed, optimistic about the opportunities that are ahead of us, and they want a leader who's been, you know, present and engaged in the work of this city, who's ready to, you know, roll up their sleeves and get to work on day one, because they've been part of that work already. And so I've been really grateful. It's been pretty tiring, but, you know, I think it's been important, and it's been a really good conversation with people at the doors, on the phone, one-on-one, in small group meetings as well.
Well, Dominic, when we talk with the candidates this time around, I want to just focus on just a couple of issues, but one that I just want to follow up on from the, and it came up in the primary debate and in our conversations as well, is the offshore wind project housed out of Salem and so on. And there has been some criticism from environmentalists on the impact of those wind turbines, well out in the ocean. But overall, just give me an update on what you're hearing from residents in Salem. And I know a lot of folks are very optimistic around the region as far as employment opportunities and so on with this project coming online.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offshore wind terminal project really has the opportunity to be transformational for Salem. You know, it'll be positive for our tax base. Like you said, it'll have the opportunity to create good jobs, not just in the construction of the facility, but in the operation of it. And long-term, in a larger scale, it has a positive effect on our work to address the climate crisis. You know, it's where green energy meets the blue economy. And I think that, you know, it's going to be an important part of our efforts as a country and a commonwealth to tackle those challenges. Locally, you know, we need to ensure that we're supporting career pathways like at Salem High School in our career and technical education program, which is pretty phenomenal there, to really equip our students for the opportunities that this project's going to present for them, and not just at the terminal site itself, but really the whole ecosystem of ancillary jobs and industries that are going to surround it. So we want to make sure that those jobs and benefits are also supporting the populations and communities that have been historically marginalized and disproportionately impacted by our fossil fuel legacy and the climate crisis. You know, I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Environmental League of Massachusetts and local climate leaders like Pat Kazemba, because I think they recognize and appreciate that I'm prepared to get to work on day one to continue trying to advance this project in a constructive manner with Crowley Maritime, the CEC, and our community partners as well, which is really important, because this is going to have an impact. And I think that, you know, we need to make sure that the neighborhood associations, that the communities around this site have full voice and consideration in, you know, how it's going to advance. But as somebody who's worked directly with the partners on this project for the last year plus that this has been in development, you know, I'm ready to get to work on day one and keeping that moving forward. It's It has some time-sensitive critical pathways, and we can't afford to wait for someone to get up to speed on the complex details of this project. I think, you know, this is an example of a project or an issue where we really need someone ready to get to work on day one.
Dominic, the other thing too is in these interviews this week with the two candidates, I also want to have you share with us a couple of issues that you think are important and that you're hearing from the community. And one of the ones is that you selected would be support for the older adults or seniors. And maybe share with us what you're hearing and what your thoughts are on that particular issue.
Yeah, I know that we've spoken in the past and we've had a chance to talk about our schools and some of the work in that space, and really thought it'd be helpful to talk a little bit more about older adults in our community. And, you know, the last 7 years I've been honored to serve as a co-chair of a program we have here called Salem for All Ages. It's an age-friendly initiative. It's carried out through AARP, and Salem was one of actually the first communities in Massachusetts to be part of it. So the concept is that you're taking a full government approach and collaborating with community partners to advance actions that make the community more livable for older adults. So whether they're moving here because, you know, Salem's a really attractive place to live, or they've lived here all their lives and they just want to age in place in the city that they know and love and where they've raised their families. So a lot of great things in Salem have come in the last 7 years from Salem for All Ages. Our affordable accessory dwelling unit ordinance, the Salem Skipper, which is our low-cost public on-demand rideshare service. We have free age-sensitive customer service training for businesses that Salem for All Ages provides to employers and businesses and city departments as well. We've run workshops on healthy aging, on transportation, universal design, done work around food security. They've been running a great speaker series at the Community Life Center that people should check out. It's open to anyone that wants to go and listen to some phenomenal speakers. That's free. And we also managed to secure funding to carry out a update to the city's Americans with Disabilities Act plan, or ADA plan, and that's all been through Salem for All Ages, and it's about trying to make Salem a place that's more age-friendly. And, you know, there's other work that we've done, you know, as the chief of staff for the city for the last decade. We now are a key part of the effort to create something called the Senior Tax Exemption Program, or STEP. So this is a property tax break for Salem seniors. It was actually so generous, we needed to get a special law through the state legislature just to make it possible. But we fought for it. We got it done. So if you get a circuit breaker tax exemption through the state, you actually qualify for the STEP property tax break, too. So, you know, if your listeners do get the circuit breaker, they should visit salemma.gov/STEP, STEP, to find out more about how they can apply for that property tax break that's just for Salem seniors. And, you know, I've chaired the Salem Retirement Board for the last several years. So that's a $250 million system that thousands of Salem retirees and their families rely on. I'm proud that the system's rate of return for the last decade has been just over 8%, which is very healthy. And despite that, you know, we've been also very generous to our retirees. So we just increased the cost of living base to $15,000 and approved a 5% cost of living amount, which is the most allowed under state law. And Salem was actually one of the first retirement systems to go to the 5% COLA amount. So, you know, Salem's always been a place that respects and supports older residents. You know, we keep striving for ways to make Salem affordable, particularly for, you know, older adults who may be on fixed incomes. And, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to be elected Salem's next mayor, I'm just going to ensure that that commitment continues.
Dominic, and one other thing you might want to touch on would be that you mentioned earlier that it would be housing or schools, but maybe you can condense that too into maybe we'll turn that into one question here, housing, yeah. Schools, or what can you share with us updates on those two areas?
Yeah, I think that Salem, so I'm a Salem public school parent. I have a daughter at Collins Middle School and a daughter at Bates Elementary School. I'm a public school graduate and I'm an optimist about our schools. I'm a big champion for them. When I go door to door, some of the best conversations I've been having is with other members of our school community as we kind of share some enthusiasm for the work that's been happening in our schools, or with people who aren't part of the school community that maybe have you know, a different perception of the schools, and I have an opportunity to talk with them and really sell them on some of the great stuff that's been happening in the Salem Public Schools. A lot of the work around public pre-K and early college, and I mentioned the career and technical education program that's really starting to blossom at the high school level, and the work that's going to happen with the new high school building project that we're advancing now is just, there's some great opportunities on the horizon. And I think that Salem's schools are a selling point for our community, our enrollment's actually up now, about an extra 300 students, so we're up about 9% over this time last year. The schools are really starting to rebound. And, you know, it's related to housing because as our community becomes less affordable for people, that's when we lose people. I think we have families that will move out of Salem, not because of dissatisfaction with the schools increasingly, but more so that they can't find an affordable place to live here. And as we're thinking about how we make Salem affordable, how we right-size our housing supply or provide the services, the food security, the utility assistance, the rental assistance, even the social emotional supports and mental health supports to kids in school so that they are able to succeed as individuals in their personal lives, that's how we make a stronger community. And that's the direction that I want to take this city in. As somebody who has kids in our schools, you know, who grew up here myself, just deeply personally invested in the success of our community, the success of our schools, and support for the children in this community. And I'm excited about the opportunity that's ahead, but there's a tremendous nexus between the affordability of our community and the vibrancy of our schools.
Well, Dominic, we really want to thank you for your time that you've given us throughout the campaign here in the primary as well, now in the general election as well, for the special election. But again, thanks so much for your time, your insights, and we look forward to sharing all of this information, obviously, with the North Shore here on our website. So again, Dominic, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we will be talking again or seeing you soon.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Dominic Pangallo, candidate for mayor, City of Salem. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports.com.